Today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and what it's all about, how we need to be thankful. And I want to share a passage with you from...
That's Dusty. You got what you wanted. You asked me for a donut and coffee. I got you that nice little cup, too. That's your donut for you?
Well, John, now wait a second. I asked you for a medium. Why'd you bring me this large?
Well, it was a special, so I thought you'd just really enjoy that much more of it.
And I wanted the cup that the newer one that has it's bigger and all. And you got this one.
Yeah, they were out of that today, but they got them tomorrow. I'm going to get out of there tomorrow. I'll get you one of those tomorrow.
Well, let me look in here. I mean, you got all these contacts with Dunkin' Donuts, and man, I just. Look at the chocolate donut, all the chocolate. Wait a second, there's a hole in it. Look at that. There's a hole in it. John, come on, man.
I'll get you one again. I'll go back. I'm going back there right now.
Is that the best you can do? There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Let's give Mr. John a big hand. All right. Was Brother Dusty being very thankful?
No.
What was Brother Dusty being? Careful what you say now. What? Pain in the neck? Yeah. Yeah, Dare. A brat? Okay. There you go. All right, well, listen to this verse from the 100th Psalm. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. And his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." Now, if I was showing that I was thankful to the Lord, what would I have done with Mr. John? Yes, sir, Luke? I'd have said thank you.
Or you could just say
thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And, but I didn't show an attitude of being thankful, did I? I showed an attitude of being a brat. How do you think God feels when we don't thank Him?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's bow and thank Him right now. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us and for giving unto us your Son Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you for good health, for life, and life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to the kids' zone. All right, if you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning in verse 11. I want to read a story there. I want to show you today in this story from Luke, Gospel of Luke, what can happen in a Thanksgiving story. I'm telling you this one today because you're going to have an opportunity this week to tell your own Thanksgiving story. You know, we're one of a handful of countries in the world that set aside a day, a national day of Thanksgiving. I hope you read it this week that as I posed the question to you, but who are we thanking? Are we just thanking some nebulous force out here? What was the intent? You know, long before there was a set-aside national day, the people of this country had already set aside a day of Thanksgiving. This is not a top-down thing. This is something that came up. And I'm calling on you today to let's rise up with a spirit of thanksgiving today. Listen to this story. Another story of what can happen in thanksgiving. Verse 11. Now while he was on his way, we just talked about being on the way a couple of weeks ago. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Literally what it says there, your faith has saved you. Literally, that's what it says. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and he said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Ooh, that's a blistering indictment on church culture in the West today. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is over there. Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Ooh. Let's see what this says today. Lord, now we pray that you will open our hearts. It would be very easy for us to sit back as the skeptics, the ones to be entertained, to decide whether it's true or not. God, I'm asking you today that you'll break that spirit. And today, we'll hear your word as you speak to us. Lord, I'm going to ask you in advance right now, everything that is not of you, let it just fall to the ground. But every word spoken here today, every experience that we have had, that is of you, let it stick like Velcro today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While he was going on the way, now what I want to do is just work back through this and then give you a couple of things, applications at the end of it. But work with me here as we go through this passage. Jesus was on his way. The same type of verbiage that he talks about us going, like Matthew 28:19, that we read. He's going, so he is practicing what he preached. I want you to see that. He was going. He was moving. Galilee is up here, geographically to the north. Then you have Samaria, and then Judea. That's how it was divided in those days. Now he's somewhere there by the context of what it says here, as you read it literally. He's somewhere on that Galilean Samaritan border. Nazareth, where he grew up, is not very far from there. Now, so you've got the rub of some cultures there. You know, the Jews in Galilee and down in Judea looked down on the Samaritans. They thought they were sellouts. Long story about that, not tell that one today. But there was a rub. He enters this village, unnamed village. There are 10 leprous men. The lepers live together in a leper colony. Isn't it interesting that they have community around their malady? Isn't that interesting? Does that happen today? Do we have community around a malady of some sort? Can a problem collect people? Well, this problem, it was by law that they would have to stay 100 paces away from a clean person. And they would have to shout out as they went about, unclean, unclean, so people would know to stay away from them. You talk about people who have a low view of themselves. The legal distance, 100 paces. So they raised their voices and they shouted out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, that indicates that they've probably been hearing some of His message. They've probably at other times stood at a distance and listened, or at least someone has told them the story about Jesus. And they're calling Him Master, not a name that you would just, your garden variety rabbi. You wouldn't call Him that. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Throwing themselves at His mercy. And when He saw them, passage is very clear here. It's kind of like in Matthew 9, when He sees the crowd there. The Scripture says He was moved with compassion on it. Same verbiage here. Same verbiage here in Luke. He's moved when He saw them. He says to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Why would He say that? Well, if you look back in Leviticus, don't look now, but look later, you'll see that there's a whole chapter there that is designed to show what lepers were supposed to do and how they would be verified as clean. And the drill was if the leprosy left them, that they would have to go to a priest and go through this process whereby the priest would verify that they indeed were healed. But Jesus flips it on its head, as He often did. He flips the whole process on its head, and He says to these who have the leprosy, He says, "Go show yourself to the priest." These guys have got to be looking at one another and say, wait a second, nothing, we're not healed. What's the deal? But they did what He asked. And the Scripture says, as they were going, continuous action verb here, as they were going, they were healed. Can you imagine what that looked like? Imagine it now. 10 guys who struggled with leprosy for years. They've got, you know, they've been living in a leper colony, separate, all that stuff. They've lost digits. They've lost toes. They've lost parts of their body. Their face is disfigured. Imagine this. Got the picture? And they're walking. And as they're walking, they become whole. That's strong. That's strong. That's the power of God. Now, verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. Now, Jesus asked the question that all of us were asked. He asked it later on. Where are the other 9? They left. They got their physical healing. They received that physical healing and they were gone. But let me tell you, this story is not about physical healing. That's ancillary to the story. It's a part of the story, but it's not the point. We're going to see the point in just a second. We get this mixed up all the time. We want to see the hand of God and not have the heart of God. Oh, show me your hand. Let me experience and walk in this. Let me see this miracle so I can keep doing what I'm already doing. And you've just accommodated my delinquency by doing that. What was Jesus interested in? So one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Imagine this now. The context leads you to believe that it's an even louder voice than what they had been calling out for mercy with. This guy's got it. Oh, but we're going to find out some disturbing news about him. Then he fell on his face, verse 16, at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. Oh, wait a second. And he was a dirty, low-down, good-for-nothing Samaritan. Now, it doesn't say all those descriptions in there. But if a Jew was looking at that, that's what the average Jew is thinking. Got it? This is real stuff. What you can assume, it'd take me a long time to show you this from the context, and you're welcome to have another opinion about it, but what you can assume is what he's pointing out here is this one's a Samaritan, the other nine are Jews. Then Jesus answered and he said, "Were not 10 cleansed?" Let me ask you, when Jesus ever asks a question, is he asking for information? Is he? No, of course not. This is one of his primary teaching methods. He's asking a question to get you to take a look at yourself. Oh, it's easy to look at other people. Oh, yeah, that's easy. Doesn't cost you anything. He's asking them to look at themselves. We're not 10 cleansed, but the 9. Where are they? Couldn't find them. Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He's going to dot the I, cross the T, exclamation point, all that. Except this foreigner. Then he says to the man, to the healed, formerly leprous man. Ooh, look at this. Stand up and go. Literally what this next phrase says. Because of your faith in me, you have been saved. He used the word sozo, which is word from which root word from which we get our word salvation. It's the root of being saved. So, what we see here is 9 got physical healing. The 10th one was physically healed, but God also healed his soul. Which healing's going to last and last forever? Got it? Got the point? Let me tell you, just a little sidebar, footnote out here. Anytime we pray for healing, it's never about just that. It's always about giving glory to God and calling people into faith and trust with Him forever in a relationship. It's always about that. Bar none. There is no example in the Scripture for another way. There's not another way. Because it's all about the one who is the way, the truth, the life, who's Jesus. So now, he can go. And he goes as a different man. That skip in his step, that joy in his heart, has just begun. He's going to get to experience that for eternity. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees are always there to rain on the parade, right? That was their job, according to the way they looked at it. They couldn't stand Jesus. They hated his guts because he blew a hole in everything that they were and claimed to be. Because he went to their heart. They were legalists. And here are the legalists, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. You see this? Here's, you know, a little bait and switch. We're going to try to change the subject. And what does Jesus do? Again, he turns it on them. He answers them. And he says, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. In other words, it's not about the healing of these leprous men. So what is it about, Jesus? He says, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. You're going to see this nebulous thing. You see, this is where mankind, where religious types, especially in the West today, we want to create our little kingdoms out here, our little fiefdoms of where we have control over everything. But what does Jesus say? For behold, in South Georgia language, that means, now look here now, the kingdom of God is in your midst. What has he just told them? When does the kingdom of God come? When the king comes. First time he came and he set up his kingdom where? In my heart. Paul would describe it this way. He would say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When he comes back the second time, where is he going to set up his kingdom? He's going to walk through that eastern gate. He's going to descend down the Mount of Olives there. He's going to walk through that eastern gate and he's going to put it all right. He is going to show you, show me, show the world that Jesus is Lord over all. We're going to see the kingdom of God. So on Thanksgiving Day, this week, what's going to be your story? Are you going to run away and not be thankful like the nine? Or are you going to nitpick and theologize with the religious right? Let's nitpick at it. Let's arrange it so we look the best. Or are you going to let Jesus just bust you wide open with thanksgiving? It's messy when Jesus gets involved. I mean, look at the mess he created there. Pretty powerful. Now, a couple of things, just to give you going away today. Jesus was on his way. You're on your way. What's going to happen? There are always people who need Jesus. Mercy is the constant cry of people. How many people around you are crying out for mercy? They're just not using that word. There's usually more in what Jesus is saying than what meets the eye, isn't there? It's deeper. When he asks you a question, what's he trying to move you to? But as soon as we become obedient, look at the things that happen. Listen to me. Things happen in the natural world. We saw it in the story. People were healed. There was physical evidence that Jesus was there. But let me tell you, stuff happens in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm that we can't see with physical eyes. To experience that, we've got to be in tune with Him. There's no Twilight Zone music playing behind me right now. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about experiencing the presence, the power, the possession of the Lord Himself. And not being a pain in the neck about it. Oh, look at me. You just lost your blessing. The minute you call attention to yourself, out the window. And spontaneous worship? Look at what this. Now he's walking and parts of his face missing, his arm, digits, you know, toes gone, parts of his body, you know. I mean, look at what he must look like as he's walking, and his body becomes whole. And then you see the praise that comes to him, the praise. And in the midst of praising God for that in his life, in the midst of that, then he can see Jesus. What a powerful story. In the middle of praise, you get to see Him clear. It's personal. It's unfettered. It's from the heart. And look at what happened to the least, the last, and the lost in this story. That's what Jesus does. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Do you need prayer today? Well, do you? Anybody? Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Glory to your name. Lord Jesus, you are Lord over all. There is no other near. And right now, we call out to you. And Jesus, we don't have to stand 100 paces away because you're right here in front of us. We call out to you. And we say, come. 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 Be large and in charge in the middle of our need that is great. Come, Lord. Lord, I pray for healing. Lord, right now, some of us physically hurt, and I'm asking you, Lord, that you'll bring your healing right now, that you'll touch bodies right now, that the pain would leave. And rejoicing would take its place. Lord, I'm praying for salvation for some that hear my voice right now that have never received you. They've been obstinate. Lord, I'm asking you for a gross exhibition of your love. Come, Lord. Draw to yourself right now. Lord, I'm praying for those who have broken relationships right now. Families that are separate. And Lord, some that are dreading a holiday right now because they're dreading spending time with an estranged family member. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring deliverance. And Lord, for some of us, that the power of the evil one has just overcome us. I'm asking you, Lord, to rebuke the enemy and send him on his way. And Lord, let us be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit right now. Come, Lord. Come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you pray with me? Well, let's expect God to do something, okay? You know, that's Henry Blackaby's singular gift to the church in the latter part of the 20th century, I believe. To start expecting God to answer your prayer. Not in some indiscriminate future, but right now. Right now. All right. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Bring people. Found out from somebody that was telling me that there's somebody here. It was their first time they'd ever attended a worship service. It was our Thanksgiving service. We have communion together. We're going to share together. We're going to sing. We're going to have a good time together. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. They need that food. And they need the clothing down at Baptist Center and other places around town. But bring it and we'll share it together. All right. Hey, Rick. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Come on up. That's right, Pam. You can't. Come on over here. Several of you want to come lay hands on her. Let's pray for her. Come on, Pamela. Right on over here. Get where you can see her. There we go. All right. Pamela, we love you. You're a joy to our lives. Your smile and your hugs are a joy to us. And we're going to pray for God to direct you as you go back home now. We're going to miss you very much. We anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Brother Rick, if you'll lead us in this prayer.
Let's bow. Father, we just ask that you would keep Pam safe as she travels back up the East Coast. That, Father, as she gets back into her familiar environment up there, that, Lord, you show her a group of people that love you and serve you that she can fellowship with. Lord, she has been looking so long and hard for fellowship. We pray, Lord, that you would answer this prayer of hers, that she can find people who will love her and care for her, and that she'll be able to love and care for, and at the same time give her gifts and share them with them. Lord, she's been starving for this, and we pray, Lord, that you would answer her as she goes, and that even now you would have provision for her as she arrives. Lord, we thank you for watching over her and for the time that we've had to share in these few months. Lord, the time that she's had to be a blessing to her family. And Lord, now we ask you to go with her and be with her in Jesus' name.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being with everybody. I'm very happy to go back to Massachusetts. So, you know, maybe next year I'll be able to come back for my son's graduation in December.
Amen. We love you. All right. Before you go today, We sure need to get those cards from you today. And now, one of you told me before the service you had a check for $1 million you wanted to. Right there. There it is right there. I see that hand. I've just turned into a TV evangelist. I see that hand, brother. Come on down. Come on down. Anyway, there's a basket in the back. Basket's up front here. We'd like to get those cards from you and your gifts to the Lord for this ministry as we go forward. And Rick, if you'll go back and shake hands today. And Miss Lane, we're so glad you're here with us today. Lord bless you. Poor old Mike, just pining away out there. All right, enough of that. That's all the sympathy he deserved. You can quote me. If you're interested in helping us with the live nativity, meet me right over here immediately. It's going to be a very, very brief meeting, okay? All right. Go in his name.